This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. I want you to take your Bible and stand, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have, and we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to stretch and get real comfortable. I'm going to preach for about an hour and 15 minutes. You four that applauded, I'm going to keep you in my will. But anyway, look what the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it's right. Honor thy father and thy mother." Honor thy father and thy mother. Well, Pastor Benny, how do you honor your father? When I was in my mother's womb and my dad left and I didn't meet him till I was 30. How do you do that? Well, we're going to talk about it. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. That if you honor them, you're going to do well, you're going to be blessed, that it may be well with thee. And look what he says. And thou mayest live long on the earth. What does that mean? That means if you honor them, they won't kill you. I want to talk to you about the importance of honor. The importance of honor. Now, my motivation for this message was a speaker that I had speak to our staff. His name was Sam Chan, just a great, wonderful brother that I love deeply, a strategic thinker. Sam Chan was getting ready to speak to our staff, and he said these words. He said, "You can never over-honor a person." Think about it. If you're honoring somebody, can you honor them too much? He said, "You can never over-honor a person." Honor. Living a life of honor. I got up this morning at 4:30, as I do just about every Sunday morning. And I got up and I looked down at my phone, and there was a text. It was a text from my daughter, and she said, "Daddy, happy Father's Day." She had sent it at 12:01, I think, last night. Savannah Abigail's always done that. I remember when she was real small in school. She came in one day and she said, "Dad, I wrote a paper about you." I said, "Tell me about it, Savannah." She said, "Well, my teacher asked me to write a paper about the person that I admired the most in the world." Man, when she said that, I just started crying uncontrollably. I said, "Savannah, that just takes me back." I said, why would you do that? She said, "Daddy, because I couldn't spell Schwarzenegger." Do you realize, folks, before the Bible says, with the Ten Commandments, and by the way, folks, they're just that. They're the Ten Commandments. They're not the Ten Suggestions. Somebody said, "I broke the Ten Commandments." No, the Ten Commandments will break you if you break them. I'll promise you. They're not the Ten Suggestions, they're the Ten Commandments. Did you know before the Bible says, "Thou shalt not steal," or "Thou shalt not kill," or "Thou shalt not commit adultery," did you know before it says that, it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother"? Because God's omniscient. And God knew that if you don't respect and honor the authority, the parents in your life, you're not going to honor and respect the authority of anybody else. If you don't have a esteem and honor for your parents, you're not going to have an esteem and honor for other people or other people's property. I love what Tim Keller said. Tim Keller said, "It's respect for parents that is the basis for every other kind of respect and every other kind of authority." But we live in a culture that's not a culture of honor. It's not a culture of honor. It's a culture of dishonor. And in every arena, it's almost like the crudest, most hurtful, most damaging things we can say gets the buzz. It's almost like the most derogatory things we can say is what gets the attention. It's what gets applauded. It's almost like if we can walk around with an attitude, that's the way we should be because we're too cool for school. And that creates more emphasis than living a life in which we honor one another. But I want to say something to you. A spirit of dishonor, a spirit of dishonor in your life, it matters not if you're 14 or you're 34 or you're 54 or you're 74. A spirit of dishonor will prohibit God's blessing on your life. Living a life that is not a life of honor, a life of dishonor, will prohibit you reaching your full potential for the Lord. You say, Pastor, can you prove that? Yes, I can. Look what the Bible says in Matthew. Now, I want you to understand something about what this scripture, what had happened before this. Jesus had just been in his ministry headquarters. Capernaum was his ministry headquarters. He had just been in Capernaum, and he was healing everybody. He was casting out devils. Lame people were walking. Blind people were seeing. He was literally healing everyone. And he comes to his hometown. He comes to Nazareth. And look what the people say. Is not this the carpenter's son? They said, get real. God? He's the carpenter's son. He's not anything. He works with Joseph down there in that little cabinet shop. Is not his mother Mary? Why, he's just like us. He's got four brothers. Had at least two sisters. How many sisters did Jesus have? We know he had at least two because it says sisters. Whence then hath this man all these things? They said, he's just a carpenter. And look what Jesus said. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet's not without honor. Notice the word honor. A prophet's not without honor. Save in his own country. I don't get any honor. I don't get any honor. But look what the next verse says. And he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. Now he healed everybody in Capernaum, but he gets to Nazareth where they don't honor him. And the Bible says he was not able to do many mighty works. I want to ask you something. What could he have done in Nazareth if they had honored him? What could God do in your life? What could God do in my life, ladies and gentlemen, if we live lives of honor? See, folks, it's respect that people have to earn, but honor ought to be given freely. It's respect that people have to earn, but honor ought to be given freely. Now, I want to talk about three areas that the Bible is very clear that we ought to honor. First of all, we ought to honor those in authority. Those in authority. If you read Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 2, it talks about honoring the governing authorities. It talks about honoring the governing authorities. And then if you jump down to verse 7, look what it says. Give to everyone what you owe them. That's a good thought, isn't it? That's a good thought. If you owe somebody something, pay them. Tell everybody about Jesus, and when necessary, use words. Tell everybody about Jesus, and when necessary, use words. Give to everyone what you owe them. Yes, you know you owe them. If you owe them, you need to pay them. Folks, don't set on me when I'm preaching good. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those in authority. Give respect and honor to those in authority. See, folks, let me tell you something. There's something wrong when 900,000 men and women every day put on a law enforcement uniform, put their lives on the line to protect people like you and me, and we allow our children to refer to them as pigs. Something's wrong with that. Everywhere I go, if I see a person in military uniform, I thank them for their service. I thank them for the service, because we got to understand something. We are the land of the free only because we are the home of the brave. And those men and women are protecting us. But folks, I'm taking it on down. I'm talking about honoring your teachers. I'm talking about honoring your coaches. I'm talking about honoring the elderly. I'm talking about honoring the disabled. I'm talking about a husband doing what the Bible teaches. Doing what the Bible teaches in 1 Peter 3 and 7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. I'm talking about Ephesians 6 and 33, where the wife reverence her husband. You say, well, he's not worthy of being honored. Give him a standard to shoot for. Amen? Give her a standard to shoot for. I'm talking about living a life of honor. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, honoring your boss. I think I heard some grass grow out here. I'm talking about honoring your boss. You say, well, Pastor, I'm smarter than my boss. Let me tell you something. You'll never learn to be over until you learn to be under. You'll never learn to be over until you learn to be under. Friend, let me tell you something. The Bible teaches you to honor those that are in authority. The Bible teaches you to honor your superior, whoever that may be. And as long as you have that attitude that I'm smarter than the boss, I've got a news flash for you. You'll never be the boss. I'm talking about honoring those in authority. But let me tell you a second group that the Bible teaches us to honor. It teaches us to honor our spiritual leadership. Our spiritual leadership. I heard about a pastor who was older. And I guess you have to define older. But he was older, and a family in the church had invited him to go home for lunch. And the husband and wife were getting the lunch ready, and the pastor said to the little boy, Johnny, he said, Johnny, what are we having for lunch today? Johnny said, goat. Pastor said, goat. He said, yeah. I heard Daddy tell Mama, we might as well have the old goat this Sunday as any other. Do you know what the Bible says, folks, in 1 Timothy 5 and 17? It says that the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. The spiritual authority in your life, double honor. Folks, 100 times people have said to me, have you ever considered running for this? Or would you run for this office? Or you would run for that office? Well, folks, let's come up real close. If I'm called to preach, why would I stoop to be president? Listen, if God's called you to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ, there's nothing like that. But I'm talking about the spiritual authority in your life. I'm talking about your Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about your worship leader. Folks, we're in service today. And your children, you've got people that are teaching your children. When's the last time you said to them, thank you for pouring into my children? Thank you for pouring into my grandchildren. I want to honor you. I want to honor you. Many times we complain about the spiritual authority in our lives. Many times we say derogatory things and wonder why we don't have the blessing of God. Did you ever think about this, folks? I thought this way. I thought about Billy Graham. I've wished that when I get to heaven, when God's rewarding, God would get Billy and Benny confused. Because, see, there will be the throne, and Billy will be up there real close. Where will you be, Benny? They'll be piping it in, satellite, where I'm at. Now, here's what's amazing. Have you ever thought that? I'd love to get the reward that I know that great person's going to get. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So the basis on how you treat the spiritual authority in your life. You said, wait, Pastor, my spiritual authority's not what he ought to be. Well, here's a thought. Find you a different spiritual authority. But if you've gone through five, you might want to look in the mirror. Amen? I mean, if one person calls you a donkey, just disregard it. But if five call you a donkey, get you a saddle. Amen? See, we miss this, folks. Psalms 133, look what it says. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. You got to understand, when Aaron was the high priest, he was anointed with oil, and it flowed down to his garments. It flowed down. Now look, as the dew of Hermon, if you go to Israel with me, I'll show you Mount Hermon, and the dew flows down Mount Hermon. Look what it says. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life for everyone. I remember years ago, Miss Cherie Burdishaw sitting right there. The lady that's got such pretty white hair. I've said to God, God, why couldn't mine turn and look like that? But Miss Cherie said, Pastor, I want our ministry, the Potter's House. I want us to be in a church because we need to be under a pastor. We need to be under spiritual authority. Let me know, this is all I'm going to say. I hadn't said this in any other services. Somebody said, I'm bouncing here and I'm bouncing there and I'm bouncing. No, no, no. You need to quit bouncing and you need to get under spiritual authority for your life because that's where God commands the blessing on your life. You need to quit bouncing and get under a spiritual authority. That's just a word from God. I've not said that in any other services. The third thing I want to say to you, we need to honor, and here's where I want to spend the most time. We need to honor our parents. And if you can't honor the person, you honor the position. If you can't honor the person, you honor the position. Think about it. I walk into a courtroom, the judge is up there. I would never walk in and say, hey, Bob, how's it going? No, no. I'd say, Your Honor. Now, his character or her character may be deplorable, by the way. I'm not honoring their personhood. I'm honoring their position. If you can't honor the personhood, you honor the position. You say, well, Pastor, how do we do that? Well, here's how you do it. You obey them when you are young. You obey them when you are young. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Young people, let me tell you something. You want the blessing of God on your lives as a young person? You obey your parents. You obey your parents without an attitude. When your parents, one little boy said, I've learned how to get along with mama. His friend said, how do you do it? He said, whatever she says do, I just do it. Obey your parents. I mean, I get parents say to me, Johnny doesn't want to come to church anymore. Well, how old's Johnny? He's 11. Well, Johnny don't have a choice. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard. That's if you've had that conversation with me, don't sleep on your side tonight. Your brains will roll out your ears. Johnny doesn't have a choice. We're going to God's house. I love what King Edward VIII said from England. He said, the thing that impresses me most about America is the way parents obey their children. Some of you are slow, but you're worth waiting for. Here's what I say. You obey them when you're young. You obey them. I remember going one time to dinner with a couple, and the child just got on the floor and pitched a fit. We're in a restaurant. The child's in the floor pitching a fit. The dad looked at me. I don't know what to do. I said, I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah. You say, well, I just don't know how you should handle that. See me after the service privately, and I'll tell you how you can handle it. Obey them when you're young. If you're young, obey them. Let me tell you the second thing. Care for them when they're old. Care for them when they're old. Let me tell you something. There's something wrong when mama raised seven and seven can't raise mama. You say, well, Pastor Benny, am I supposed to feed her? She fed you. There's something wrong when mama raised seven and seven can't raise mama. You say, where do you come up with these far-fetched ideas? The Bible. It's the Bible. Somebody said the church. No. No, you need to learn your Bible. The church needs to help mama. No. You need to learn your Bible. Don't talk till you know more. Don't talk till you know more. You need to learn your Bible. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look what the Bible says. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them be the first to show piety at home. And let them repay mom and dad. For that is the good and acceptable before God. You say, no, the church needs to. No, the family needs to. The family needs to step up and take care of mom and daddy. That's the book, by the way. There's a third thing that we're to do. We're to honor them whether you're young or old. You're to honor them whether you're young or old. And you said, Pastor, how can I honor mom? How can today's daddy's day? How can I honor dad? You know, you say things quickly, but sometimes it's not a... You know, it took God one day to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. But it took God 40 years to get Egypt out of the children of Israel. So what I've learned in my life, folks, I don't have it all together. You say, Brother Benny, you're some super Christian. No, I'm not. I'm a man that has feet of clay. I'm trying to win the grace race. I'm dependent upon Jesus. No, I don't have it all together. I'm just a human. But this is something I've learned. If you want to honor your parents... Many of us, this won't be relevant to all of you. It was relevant to me. The first step, many times you've got to forgive them. Because there are no perfect parents. Neither am I a perfect parent. Neither are you a perfect parent. So many times the first step is I've got to forgive them. I've got to let go and I've got to let God. I've got to forgive. Because if I don't forgive, it destroys me. Bitterness does more damage to the container in which it's stored than the object on which it's poured. So I would encourage you to forgive them. Let it go. Let it go. You'll win. You'll win. You'll benefit. You'll be the benefactor if you forgive them. Let it go. Some of you, your parents are dead, but you still never forgiven them. And you need to let it go. Sit down and write a letter and then tear it up. Write a letter and say, I forgive you. Put daddy, get a chair. Put daddy in the chair. Express your hurt to Daddy. Express your hurt to him. And then say, Dad, I choose to forgive you. Let it go. Number two, speak well of them. Speak well of them. You say, well, Brother Benny, I don't know what there is. What are you talking about? Well, here's one thing. Have you ever thought about this? Without them, you wouldn't be here. I mean, there wouldn't be a human race if Adam and Eve hadn't have said, we're going to raise little Cain when we get Abel, amen? Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, folks, it's, by the way, this was God's ideal, amen? It was his plan, and most of us are here because of it, amen? So you wouldn't be here without them. You know what, through your daddy today, if you'd say sometime to your daddy, Daddy, you're the one who taught me how to do this. You're the one who taught me how to do that. I learned that from you, Daddy. If you said that to your daddy, buttons would be popping off his shirt. He'd be smiling so big, you'd get a clothes hanger in his mouth. Speak well of them. Let me tell you a third thing. Seek their wisdom. Seek their wisdom. Folks, we've reached a point we think that, boy, we've got Google. We've got the internet. We're so smart. We've got all the screens. But look what the Bible says. Job 12 and 12. With ancient is wisdom, and in the length of days is understanding. They've lived longer than you. They've lived longer than you. I mean, we live in a culture where somebody said, well, I'm a millennial and I know everything. Well, listen, your frontal lobe doesn't even fully develop till you're 25. So if you're under 25, you're still partially brain damaged. You said, well, Pastor, I wouldn't say that. You don't have to. I did. No, seek the wisdom. Listen, I've got, hey, you say, Pastor, what? Well, tell me about your day today. What are you going to do? I'll tell you at the end of the day, at the end of this day, I'm going to sit down with a pastor that's about 75 years old and present myself totally to him and say I'm an open book. Pour in me. Ask me anything you want to ask me. Hold me accountable. Pour in me anything you want to pour in me. You've lived longer than I have. You know more than I have. You've pastored a bigger church than I have. You've been places in ministry that I've never been, probably never go. I need to learn from you. That's wise, folks. It's wise to learn from experience, but it's wiser to learn from the experience of other people. Now, here's all I'm going to say, and I'm done. I read a book years ago by a man by the name of Zig Ziglar. It's a great book entitled See You at the Top. If you haven't read the book, I encourage you to read the book. And let me say this. You tell me what you're reading, and you tell me who you're associating with, and I'll tell you where you'll be 5 years from now. That's all I've got to know. You just tell me what you're reading, and you tell me who you're associating with, and I'll tell you where you're going to be. Because birds of a feather do flock together. Birds of a feather do flock together. I'll promise you that. You hang out with losers, you'll end up a loser. You hang out with winners, you'll end up with winners. Amen? I mean that. Years ago, I had mules, and Barbara and I entered our mule into the Kentucky Derby. Barbara said, there's no way that mule can win, Benny. I said, no, but the association will do him well. Zig Ziglar told a story in this book. He said there was this well-dressed businessman, and he was in a hurry to get on a subway. And there was a man there with a can. He had a can, and he had pencils. And he said that businessman ran right fast and took a little money out of his wallet and popped it into the can, jumped on the subway, and never even acknowledged the man. And he said he got on the subway and he started thinking about it and said, that's not right. Because by the way, folks, God created all people equal. See, these clothes I've got on, whatever I'm wearing, see, these two ladies on the front row clean them. They clean my clothes. And I have prayer with them in the cleaners. And I baptized them. And let me tell you something. Those ladies that clean my clothes are just as good as I am. God created all of us equal. There's no superstars. There's only the bright morning star. That's Jesus. Amen. Rest of us are just messed up people. From me on down, if you're hunting a place where a bunch of messed up people are, Rock Springs Church is it. Amen. This is it. I mean, I don't have it all together. I don't want to give you that indication. He got on the subway and he started thinking about, I didn't handle that right. And he got off the subway and he tucked some pencils and he put some money in the can. And he said, "Sir, I'm sorry for rushing by you. You're selling a product here at a fair price. You're a businessman just like me." He took the pencils and got on the subway. He said 6 months passed, and he said, "I was in a nice meeting." And he said, "A man walked in, and he was dressed real nice. And he said, 'You're the guy that had the pencils down on the corner in the can.'" He said, "Yeah." And he said, "And you bought pencils?" He said, "Yeah." But he said, "Sir, this man was dressed to the nines." He said, "You done something far more important." He said, "What was that?" He said, "You called me a businessman." And he said, "You gave me my dignity." And I started saying, "I am a businessman. And I've applied myself, and great things have happened in my life." Let me tell you something, folks. When you honor people, God honors you. When you live a life of honor, that we're just going to honor people. I'm going to give people dignity. I'm going to give people honor. Let me give you one other story. You stick a fork in my side, I'm done. Noah was in a boat for 370 days with a bunch of stinking animals. After he got out of that boat, he went and got drunk. You might have too if you'd been in there 370 days with them animals. But he goes and he gets drunk. And he has a son. Look what the Bible says. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. And he went out and told his brethren. Ham saw his dad in there drunk, showing flesh. And he went out and told his brothers. Now look what the boys do. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And they saw not their father's nakedness. Let me tell you something. His actions wasn't right, but those boys said, "He's still our father. He's still our father." And here's where we miss it. I've heard this scripture preached wrong all my ministry. Look what the next verse says. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan." I've heard all my ministry. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham got cursed. You've heard that. But that's not what the Bible says. Ham didn't get cursed. His children got cursed. Read it. Ham didn't get cursed. His children got cursed. You want to impact your children? You want to impact your grandchildren? Live a life of honor. Live a life where you honor other people. And you'll not only impact your children, but you'll impact your grandchildren. Your life counts. That's why when I sign a book, if I've signed your Bible or I've signed a book that I've written, I asked a guy the other day, I said, have you read my last book? He said, I hope so. But if I've signed your book, if I've signed your book, I signed Psalms 37 and 25. And this is what it says. I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. When you live a life of honor, it impacts your children. It impacts your grandchildren. It impacts your great-grandchildren. Honor, a spirit of honor. That's the word I want you to leave with today.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.